As a teenager, growing up in East Texas, I didn't get very much exposure to African music. But when I heard the group Jaluka, it made me a fan for life. That band was co-founded by singer, dancer, and guitarist Johnny Clegg. Johnny was born in 1953 to an English father and a Zimbabwean mother, and he lived in Zimbabwe until he was seven. Then his family immigrated to South Africa during apartheid rule. But racist laws couldn't stop Johnny's cultural curiosity or cloud his sense of social justice. He worked extensively to establish unions for South African migrant workers, and he taught anthropology at a university in Johannesburg for 4 years before deciding to dedicate himself to music full-time, a decision he's never had time to regret.
Really, it was the music. I was into Celtic folk music and folk music in general in the late 60s. I was astonished to discover that in the streets of Johannesburg there was a whole music community of migrant workers who were playing guitar, concertina, and violin, but who had taken these Western instruments and completely reconceptualized them. They retuned them, they changed the strings around, they found different ways of playing them. And when I heard Zulu street guitar music, I realized immediately that this was a unique genre. You know, I was living in South Africa and nobody ever said, hey, have you heard Zulu street guitar music, you know? So I decided to learn to play it. And through the music, I got into the entire traditional Zulu culture, its systems of composition. I got into war dancing, stick fighting, praise poetry, and into the life cycle of the migrant worker. After playing for 6 or 7 years just traditional street music, I started to introduce my own Celtic folk roots and other roots, and we got this hybridized mixture, crossover of Zulu street guitar tradition with international folk rock and Celtic. And the band Jaluka was born in 1979. And although we had a tremendous struggle in South Africa, the thing that kept us going was that we realized we were making a new music. This was a completely new kind of genre. We were mixing language in the same song. We were mixing rhythmic frameworks. We were mixing melodic traditions that, you know, were completely different but found a way to bridge them. So that's basically the background.
Let's talk about the kind of opposition that you faced in having an integrated band in apartheid South Africa.
There were two main laws which were a huge hassle for any musician. The first is the Group Areas Act. This is, every area in the country was designated white, black, colored, or Indian. And if one race group, a member of one race group, wanted to go into an area that was designated for another, technically you had to get a permit from a magistrate. And so when we played in South Africa, when we got to be able to play, in 1980 was our first sort of debut concerts as Jaluka. We found a loophole in the law that said that if there was a venue that was privately owned, we could perform. But we couldn't perform anywhere in public. And all the public space was huge places that we couldn't play, and huge vast swathes of South Africa as a country that we were not allowed to play in. But when we did attempt to play, and we managed to play, I calculated that we had 30% of our shows closed down a year by the police.
Were you jailed over some of these
incidents? I was arrested when I was 15 years old for going into a black migrant labor hostel to learn Zulu war dancing. And I was arrested over and over and over again under the Group Areas Act. And my mom used to bail me out of the charge office. And in the end, she said, look, if you're going to keep doing this thing, you must carry your own money. And, you know, you must just pay your fine and move on. When I look back at that time, I just can't believe what we went through. But you see, the thing is that we were born into that environment. We didn't know there was anything else. And, you know, it's like, I suppose, being born into Syria. Or being born in, you know, into Korea, mm-hmm. you grow up in Korea. That's your frame of reference. It's very hard for you to imagine something else when you're a young person.
Where are we talking to you from right now? What city are you in?
I'm in Tacoma.
So, what kind of changes are you seeing? You know, if you've been away from the States for a while, do you see any changes now?
Yeah, I was quite amazed to see the impact of the massive debt in America and watching things like collective bargaining rights of trade unions being, you know, taken away. I was quite amazed at that.
Mm-hmm.
And watching very, very sort of strange aspects of belt tightening in America, where, you know, it's affecting national public radio and place things like that, which I would have thought would be the last place you wanted to cut budget from. I think America is going through one of its deepest crises. I think people are, there's a very deep sense of disconnect, I think, between American people and their politics, their body politic. And I think that somewhere, some politician or some group are going to be able to say something which connects again with American people and get them up and running. It's a time for it looks to me to be a time of great introspection, among the American people.
People talk about pop stars or musicians as being big in America, big in Japan, of course, is a great cliche. You have fans all over the world, but at this point in your career, how do you really judge your success?
You know, it's really, I suppose, every evening I play to people and I connect with people that I don't know and who get some kind of emotional or spiritual or intellectual nourishment from what I do, either in the lyrics or in the show they see or the energy they get from the show. And if it's a good show for me, that's a success. I enjoy that very much. Long term, I've always been an alternative, band. I don't get airplay. I can only get my stuff out to people through live shows. And I've been doing that for 30 years. This is my 30th anniversary. And what's been fantastic for me since 2004 is that this year I've seen a massive increase in attendances in my shows, especially, you know, during a bad economic cycle for America. We were booked for 30 shows. We've done 22 and we've had 11 sellouts. So it's been an amazing affirmation for me. And that's what I'm saying. There seems to be a sense in America of searching, of re-looking at things and just throwing your net a little bit further than you normally would. You know, I've got people who normally wouldn't come to my show, young people who'd normally go to a rock show or, you know, to a dance hall or whatever. They're coming to see Johnny Clegg, you know. So it's maybe it's a sign of the times. Maybe it's a good thing. I don't know.
What do you end up taking home with you at the end of the night when you leave the stage?
People smiling. I mean, standing up and smiling and singing along the last song with me. It's a connecting. I take away a connection.
UA Presents brings the Johnny Clegg Band to Centennial Hall on Friday night, May 6th. UA Presents is an underwriter of Arizona Public Media.